let's ask the Lord's help. Dear Lord, we ask that as we come to your word today, you would teach us about our words, Lord. And Lord, I pray that this would be a real point of growth for our homes, our church, and our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Frances Ridley Havergal was an extraordinary woman. Words were her tools, and Frances Havergal kind of knitted words like other women knitted wool. She knew Greek, Hebrew, Latin, German, French, and Italian. And she had learnt the whole of the Gospels by heart, plus the New Testament letters. That's just about all of the New Testament and the book of Revelations. She knew Psalms by heart. Just knowing Psalm 119 by heart, I would have thought would be a great feat. Psalms by heart, Isaiah, and the Minor Prophets. Whoa. All her training and ability, she dedicated totally to God. On December 2nd, 1873, she first saw the blessedness of total commitment to God. She wrote, "There must be full surrender before there can be full blessedness." And a hymn say, "Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages for thee." And so because Frances' words were godly words, her words were also good words, able to bring healing and life. How many Christians have been helped and healed by her words? "Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. And hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand, never foe can follow, never traitor stand, not a surge of worry, not a shade of care, not a blast of hurry, touch the spirit there." We need to understand the impact of good and godly words like Frances Havergal. For right there is the motivation, as we see their impact, right there is the motivation to choose such words. Oh, that our homes would be filled with true words, with wise words, gracious words, carefully chosen words, well-timed words, and understanding words, as we saw last time as we looked at this subject of good words. You see, the power of such good words can radically change people, and that change can be enormous. Today we need to see how enormous. Last time we looked at how to choose good words, and today we need to consider another aspect of good words, the benefits of good words. All of this is rich teaching and practical for our homes from the book of Proverbs. We will find that the book of Proverbs mentions seven positive benefits of good words, and perhaps many of these are just different ways of looking at the same thing, just looking at the same thing from different angles, but seven positive benefits of good words for us to consider today. The first positive impact of good words from the book of Proverbs is good words nourish. Good words nourish. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 21. "The lips of the righteous feed many." They nourish. Truth nourishes. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "Therefore laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." The pure milk of the word of God will enable us to grow because good words nourish. So those who live for Christ and speak the truth in Christ will nourish many a hungry soul. Good words nourish, like breast milk nourishes a newborn. Also, Proverbs 13 and verse 2 says, "A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth." That is, from the fruit of his lips, a man enjoys good things. A good heart brings forth good fruit, nourishing a man's life and those around him. And so we have a look at, in your Bibles, Matthew 7 and verse 17. "Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you'll know them. So if we would help others to grow, our lips ought to have the fruit of God's words, because good words nourish and it will help people to grow. The end of Proverbs 13 and verse 2 that we've just read says, "But the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence." The alternative to good words for our homes, our church and our workplaces and our lives is careless words. And careless words will breed violence. They will breed trouble. So good words feed others, whilst bad words breed violence. Oh, that we would choose good words to help others to grow. Words can nourish, or they can breed violence. You choose what you're going to speak. It seems like a common concern for young mums who are breastfeeding, is that the milk might dry up, or is about to dry up. This is especially so since babies can go through growth spurts, and at that times when they're growing very fast, their demands are very high, and there just never seems to be enough. But generally speaking, the more baby needs, the more the breast produces. Oh, that we had the same concern for the effect of our words on our children's growth. True, wise, gracious, godly words will nourish them. May they not dry up. We ought to be feeding our children the truth about God's word and God's world at every opportunity. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6 says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." At every opportunity, you're going to be teaching good words. I can see the difference in children that have been nourished by the words of godly parents and those who haven't. Quiet time, family devotions, yes, absolutely yes, always yes. Let the enemy know that you're going to do family devotions no matter what havoc he is going to wrought in your family. Family devotions, yes, but not just devotions. The way we talk to each other as parents ought to be good words that will nourish the children. And the subjects we talk about is going to influence them too. Good words nourish. Other words breed trouble. You choose what words are going to be in your home and in your life. The second positive impact of good words taught by Proverbs is good words heal. Firstly, good words nourish. Secondly, good words heal. Wow, there's a lot of verses that talk about the healing qualities of good words. Proverbs 12 and verse 18 says, "There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword." You've probably met people like that. "But the tongue of the wise," what does it do? "Promotes health." The tongue of the wise promotes health. "I have been seared, I have been scarred by cruel words." Maybe you have too. It's taken many decades of good words to reverse some of the damage that occurred in my childhood years by bad words. The Bible, good and godly conversations, Christian books, listening to preaching, tapes, MP3s, anything where I can get good words in is going to be healing. For someone who is deeply scarred, usually by those kind of words that pierce like a sword, the object of counseling is to bring people into an environment of good words. The object of preaching, the object of discipleship is to bring people into an environment of good words that they may heal. Proverbs 12 and verse 25 says, "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad." Good words can go so far as to lift someone out of depression. I've had periods where the tears have come as I've read the Word of God. Maybe I'm going through some difficult time and I just read the Word until it touches my heart and the tears flow. Good words have proved so healing. Again, a kind word spoken when I've been hurting has lifted the burden from me. Proverbs 13 and verse 17 says, "A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful ambassador brings health." If we're going to be an ambassador for the King, the words that we say ought to be bringing health to the people that we're speaking to. A bad word brings trouble. A faithful word brings healing. Don't you want that for your life? Isn't that what you want to be part of your homes? Words that are going to heal lives rather than hurt? Oh, be a faithful ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. An ambassador knows how to calm troubled waters, to settle things down, and how to heal a situation. Good, faithful, gracious, honest words. Proverbs 15 and verse 23 says, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. A timely word is so good, so healthy. Proverbs 15 and verse 30. The light of the eye rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones healthy. A good report, good news certainly makes the bones healthy. Please choose the words that would heal in your relationships, whether those relationships are over the table or over the fence, over the phone or over the net. Good words heal. Proverbs 16 and verse 24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasant words are both sweet and healing. They are sweet. When I taught the Bible, we lived in Africa for a time and we learnt a tribal language there, Wolof. And when I taught the Bible in Wolof, the people would say, Sajunga dafaneh. In other words, your teaching is sweet. We don't normally talk about teaching that way, but they come up and say, your teaching is sweet, very sweet. Verse 24 says, pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. You can feel and see the strength that a good word does and gives to someone. Like honey, good words are healthy. Our words can harm, or our words can heal. Which do you choose to be on your lips? I suppose we all feel like our lives don't count at times. When I felt like that, how a small word has encouraged me. That teaching really cleared things up for me, or I made a decision that day that has really changed my life, or just a sincerely well done. Maybe someone in your home, someone at your workplace or someone sitting in your pew today needs an encouraging word. Maybe a brief note, a cheerful smile, a kind offer of help, a sincere thank you, a little gift. All these things communicate and surrounded by good words. Oh, that we would choose good words, carefully chosen words to help and to heal. The third positive impact of good words taught by Proverbs is good words are life. Well, if good words nourish, and if good words promote health, of course good words are life. Proverbs 10 and verse 11 says, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Well, when you think of a well, you think of water. And if you think of a well in the middle of the desert, you think of that water giving life. Like a well is to a traveler in the desert are good words to the hearer. Healing, life-giving words. Proverbs 15 and verse 4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Righteous, wholesome words are like medicine. Now again, referring to the Wolof people where we lived in Africa, they had a word for tree, the word garab, and their word for medicine was garab. It was exactly the same word because there are just so many trees that were used for both. Verse 4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. It's going to be healing to us. Like medicine saves a life, so do wholesome words. But perverse words destroy life, but perverseness in it, that is in the tongue, breaks the spirit. Perverseness in the tongue breaks the spirit. The newspaper obituary said, I quote, services for affable fix-it man today. Then a little article told the story of a 79-year-old repairman who was known for his integrity, his character, and his kind words. At his funeral, his boss said, half his job was repairing appliances and the other half was repairing people. Customers requested him by name, he said. He always had a kind word. Words are life, or words are death. What kind do you choose to speak? The fourth positive impact of good words taught by Proverbs is good words bring prosperity. You see, good words are valuable, and anything valuable repeated is going to bring prosperity. Proverbs 10 and verse 20. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. You keep pouring choice silver into a home, and soon that home is going to be prosperous. Good words are valuable, and they bring prosperity, the right kind of prosperity, spiritual prosperity. Proverbs 20 and verse 15 says, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Very valuable, you see. Precious words are a storehouse of treasure. Jesus might have been thinking on the book of Proverbs when he spoke about treasure. Now, your Bible's open in Matthew. Just flip over a couple of pages to chapter 12 and verse 35. Matthew 12 and verse 35. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you, that for every idle word men speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And Matthew 13 and verse 52, another page or so over. And he said to them, therefore every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. Just words, but valuable words, precious words. The man who knows the word of God is able to bring out gems at the right time. Valuable words that will prosper all. Francis Havergal wrote, the master has not put a chest of poetic gold in my possession and said, now use it any way you like, but he keeps the gold and he gives it one piece at a time. Just when he will. And as much as he will, and no more. So she's saying, the word is all there. She'd learnt so much of it by heart, hadn't she? And yet the Spirit of God gave her the words at just the right time. Golden words to enrich people's lives. Words like, Lord, speak to me, that I may speak in living echoes of thy tone. And teach me, Lord, that I may teach the precious things thou dost impart. And wing my words that they may reach the hidden depths of many a heart. O fill me with thy fullness, Lord, until my very heart overflow in kindling thought and glowing word, thy love to tell, thy praise to show. Good words. May your words be pure gold, good words enriching your home. Words are valuable or words are worthless. You choose what you will speak. The fifth positive impact of good words is good words are beautiful. Beautiful. Add beauty to your day. Say a good word. Proverbs 15 and verse 26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. The idea there is of beautiful. Proverbs 24 and verse 26 explains the beauty of words this way. He who gives a right answer kisses the lips. If you like a kiss on the lips, then you also appreciate a right answer. And Proverbs 25 and verse 11 picturesquely adds this. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Now, the most beautiful jewelry and the most stunning artworks, statues, sculptures are made of gold and silver. Settings in that verse refers to a three-dimensional artwork, in other words, a sculpture. So it's like saying a well-timed word is like a golden apple on a silver statue. Here described, good words are described as fitly spoken. Appropriate, well-timed words. How beautiful is that? Such words touch the heart and bring a tear to the eye. Beautiful words. Just beautiful. Consider the craftsman. To make a beautiful piece of jewelry, he spends hours there with intense light and magnification. He takes care as he shapes every part of that piece of jewelry. It takes effort to make beautiful jewelry. And it takes effort to think through the right words at the right time. Truly beautiful people speak beautifully appropriate words. Oh, be careful. Be careful of the careless word. Put effort into shaping the words and sentences. The New Testament puts it this way, Ephesians 2:29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. You want those who listen to you to receive grace, so you add grace to the words, and those words will impart grace to the hearers. The sixth impact of good words, according to Proverbs, is good words give joy. Good words give joy. Proverbs 12 and verse 20. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. Good words will always have those characteristics of love, joy and peace, the fruit of the Spirit. But counselors of peace have joy. They have joy and they give joy by their words. By now you're starting to get a picture of the blessings of God that accrue to us when we start to speak those good words. Good words nourish, heal and give life. Good words are valuable, beautiful and give joy. Don't you want the benefits for yourself and those around you? When the author on marriage begins his book this way, he says, "Does the institution called marriage have a future? Some experts are saying that marriage as we now know it is on the way out. As divorce rates climb or at least remain appallingly high, many people in and out of church are growing pessimistic about marriage." And then he goes on to say that there are three major changes taking place in the institution of marriage today. First of all, a decline in understanding between marriage partners. Not quite sure yet how he measures that, but if indeed there is a decline in understanding between marriage partners, then it is due to communication. Secondly, the loss of determination to stay married. And that's because divorce is not seen as the terrible thing it once was. And thirdly, the development of unrealistic marriage expectations. And that's due to that Hollywood idea that you can stay in a state of romance the whole time without putting effort into it. It just happens. Well, that's not true at all. For love to be there, we've got to work at that. Decline of understanding and lack of communication, he says, go together. Many couples today lack the kind of communication skills that produces understanding necessary for a marriage to grow strong or even exist. Understanding in a marriage doesn't mean that there are not differences. It does mean that you and your mate are able to talk about the differences and come to an understanding of each other's views. Marsha and Dan couldn't really talk to each other. Marsha's stomach tightened. She had innocently asked her husband, Dan, what he had planned for the afternoon. She wanted to make sure that he wasn't depending on her to be home. She was still shaken from the anger of Dan, her husband, the previous day when he found out that she'd gone shopping without telling him. Oh my. For several long minutes in the middle of last night's dinner, he had glared and shouted and threatened to take away the money and the car if she didn't start checking with him first. So now the next morning, Marsha was cautiously asking about his plans for the day. Typically, Dan misread her motives. "Why do I always have to tell you what I'm going to do?" he snapped. Marsha could feel her body beginning to tense up. "You don't," she said timidly. "I was just wondering if you might like to do something this afternoon." "Well, I just don't know why you expect me to tell you everything I'm doing," Dan said more angrily. "Why are you getting so upset? I never said you had to tell me anything," Marsha replied. "I am not upset. You always make such a big deal out of nothing," Dan snarled. "I wasn't trying to make a big deal out of anything," Marsha responded. "All I did was simply ask," but before she could finish, Dan cut her off in a loud voice, shouted, "Don't try and deny it, you always do that." After a few seconds of awkward silence, Dan slammed down his fist on the table and continued, "Why don't you just shut your big mouth and drop it? You don't have a clue what it means to be a submissive wife, and you're probably too stupid to ever get it." Okay, Dan, I'll drop it. Marcia conceded. You're not going to get off that easy. You always try and get in the last word, Dan said. Exasperated, Marcia exclaimed, but I thought you wanted me to drop it. Marcia continued trying to explain herself. There was no reasoning with Dan. He persisted to twist what she was saying and call her derogatory names. A phone call mercifully ended the episode, but Marcia left that conversation, as she had many others, feeling belittled, confused, and guilty. She wondered what she had said to make Dan so mad and why she couldn't get him to understand her. Maybe that exchange is too close to home for some. A man or a woman who misunderstands and reacts like Dan is cutting their own throat. They are destroying the relationship they value the most. They are not using good words. And it's so destructive. Good words are so constructive. Why wouldn't we want to communicate with grace and truth? Why not choose joy? Choose good words, won't you? The final impact of good words to transform lives and homes is good words deliver. There is a deliverance, there is a salvation apparent in good words, the words of truth. Proverbs 11 and verse 9. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbour, a bit like Dan, eh? But through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. Bad words get you into deeper trouble, good words deliver you from trouble. Dan was just getting himself deeper and deeper into relationship trouble by reacting that way. Similarly, Proverbs 12 and verse 13 says, the wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, so the wicked gets caught by his words, but the righteous will come through trouble. Good words not only deliver from trouble, they prevent trouble in the first place. Proverbs 13 and verse 3, he who guards his mouth preserves his life. But he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. And 14 and verse 3, in the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. Good words prevent problems happening, they preserve. How many times does the good words of the good book have to speak to us before we start responding with like good words? Proverbs 14 and verse 25, a true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. And the ultimate trouble, of course, is an eternity without Christ. I trust that everyone here today knows for sure that they have an eternity with Christ. Otherwise, we would deliver you from that today by good words. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him as your Savior from sin. Well, true godly words deliver a soul from hell. And here's the sum of it. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it, that is, if you love bad words, then you're going to suffer the consequences. Those who love it will eat its fruit. You choose what you speak. You're going to eat the fruit of what you speak. Words heal, help, or give life, or words scar, hurt, and bring death. Yes, words. You will reap what you sow. If you love bad words, the fruit will be destruction, like Dan. If you love good words, you'll have the fruits of life. The health of this church, our homes, and our own individual ultimate happiness depends on good words. Oh, may God help us always choose the words of life. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we freely confess that too often we choose bad words. We realize that good and godly words and bad words should not come from the same mouth. It's inappropriate, Lord. We confess that for your children. So Lord, we come to you today and we ask that you would help us. There's so much here, so many things to live all at once. Lord, we cannot do this except by the power of your Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, grant by your grace and our determined love for you that we would speak what is good and healthy and wholesome and nourishing to those around about us. For your glory, Lord, we pray. Amen.